Eichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 27 in the series, entitled, Can Forbidden Substances Become Holy? Recorded live at Eichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning. Tanya Perek Ches, the eighth chapter of Tanya, which is on page 24, or Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. In the previous chapter, Rabbi Schneur Zalman of Liadi, the Alter Rebbe, explained the difference between forbidden things and permitted things. Forbidden objects, he explained, receive their vitality, their energy, their sustenance from a realm defined as Shalesh Klippos HaTmeis, the three unclean shells, which totally conceal and obscure their inner divine identity and spark. However, permitted things receive their vitality, their energy from a realm defined as Klipas Neiga, a translucent shell, which Klipas Neiga is an intermediate between Kedusha, between the realm of holiness, and the realm of Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis, the three unclean shells, because Klipas Neiga is a mixture, as he puts it, of Tov and Ra, of positivity and negativity. On one hand, Klipas Neiga is a shell which conceals, which also obscures the inner divine essence of the object, of the reality, and its ultimate raison d'etre, its true purposeness. On the other hand, we say it's Klipas Neiga, it's a translucent shell, because it's not a shell that totally conceals and obscures its divine essence and purpose. So therefore, it is a Klipas Neiga, a shell which is translucent. It allows for the divine inner identity to be revealed within it. Hence, the Alter Rebbe explained, permitted things, one can either elevate or can lower. If the human being utilizes the permitted object for the sake of heaven, say, for example, a man consumes the flesh of an animal, and then he uses that energy to do something positive, transcendental, godly. Say he earns money, and despite his primal instinct to use all the money for himself, he gives some of it to charity. So what happens then is that the true purpose of the animal has been realized, and it has been elevated to the realm of holiness. It has transcended the parameters of its own being and has become an instrument in man's service of the divine reality. Hence, this thing which receives its energy from Klipas Neiga, the Klipas Neiga reality, was elevated from the realm of Klipa to the realm of Kedusha. But if a person eats the same meat, not for the sake of heaven, not with the purposeness of utilizing the energy for something constructive, godly, and holy, but rather for the sake of pleasure, and he's interested in pleasure merely for the sake of pleasure, so then he has taken this food, this substance, which was receiving its energy from Klipas Neiga, and has lowered it to the realm of the Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis of the three unclippers. Certainly, if one violates a mitzvah with this food, if one performs a transgression on Aveda with this food, certainly then he lowers it to the realm of Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis. Because not only did he not utilize it in accordance with its inner divine purpose, with its inner divine identity, in accordance with the divine will, on the contrary, He has used it to perform an act which is antithetical to Hashem's will. So the food and the energy of the food has become a medium and an instrument in the realization of an act which is contrary to its purpose and its true identity. So then, for sure you lower the substance of the food to the realm of the Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. But even if a person does not perform an aveira, a transgression with this food, even if he just uses the food as an instrument to fulfill his bodily lusts and appetites, to fulfill his gluttonous instincts, then also he lowers the substance from Klipas Nega to Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis. In continuation to this concept, the Alter Rebbe begins the 8th chapter of Tanya. In Perek Zayin, the Alter Rebbe explained that if someone is a gluttonous person who's eating the chunk of beef or quaffing the wine for gluttonous purposes, so he has taken the meat and the wine, which has received its vitality and energy from a realm called Klipas Nega, the translucent shell, and has lowered it to the realm of Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis, now it's connected to that realm. If a person uses this food to do an isser, in other words, not only to eat like a glutton, but he actually uses this food to do an isser. For example, he eats the food on Yom Kippur. Not so funny. But anyway, he eats the food on Yom Kippur. So then the food has become an instrument not only to satisfy his gluttonous instincts or passions, but much more than that. The food has now been used to actually violate the divine will. So certainly, he lowers its vitality and energy from the realm of Klipas Nega to Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. Someone, you're asking, eat something which is forbidden, and then he uses that energy to do a mitzvah. So what fueled that mitzvah? It was something which is forbidden. Is that elevated to the realm of holiness or not? If yeah, fine. But if not, does that mean that there's something wrong with the mitzvah? Because it has been performed through a reality of Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis. So the answer to this question is actually how Perek Ches begins. Let's look inside. There is an additional aspect in the matter of forbidden foods. Shalakach nikrayim b'shem isur, for which reason they are called isur, which isur in Hebrew means bound and attached. For even if one ate a forbidden food unwittingly, and we're talking about a case where it wasn't necessarily his fault that he has eaten it unwittingly, because halachically, for whatever reason, he was not obligated to find out and to do research if it was kosher or non-kosher. Halachically, he could have, no problem, be of the opinion, possess the opinion that it's absolutely kosher. But nevertheless, for whatever reason, it turns out that it wasn't kosher. And furthermore, it's not only that he ate it unwittingly. He ate it l'shem shamayim. He ate it for the sake of heaven. L'avod Hashem b'koyach achilahim. In order to serve Hashem with the energy derive from this consumption. Furthermore, not only did he not know it was forbidden, not only did he eat it for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of serving the divine reality, much more than that. V'gam pa'al v'asakim. He actually carried out his intention. V'karav v'yispalel v'kayach achilahi. He studied Torah and he prayed with the energy derived from that very food. Ein hachayus shaba oilo mislabeshas b'teves ha'teirah v'atfilu. The vitality contained in it does not ascend or become clothed in the words of Torah and prayer that he prays and he studies with the energy of that food, kemaya hater, as in the case with permitted food, where the energy does ascend and does become enclosed in the letters of davening or learning. And the reason for this is mipnei yisura bidei hasitra achira mishalish klipas atmeis. Because it, the energy of this food, is held captive in the power of the sitra achira, of the three unclean klipas, which do not permit the energy of the food to be elevated to sanctity. Yes, still the mitzvah is mekuyim, the man did a mitzvah. And he did a mitzvah with which energy? With the energy of something forbidden. But because essentially this is forbidden, it's not something which is permitted, it belongs to the realm of Shalosh Klipos HaTameis, which has Hashem created it. They are realities, they are energies that totally conceal and obscure their inner divine identity, their inner divine vitality. It cannot ascend to the realm of holiness. So therefore, even if someone has made it an instrument in doing something transcendental, that forbidden thing remains forbidden. It can't relieve those parameters. Va'afilu hu isur d'rabbanan. Even if the prohibition is by a reason of the... it's a rabbinic prohibition. So one might say, concerning Torah prohibitions, that is the case. But concerning rabbinic prohibitions, one might think that when someone consumes such a food which is prohibited only by the rabbana, only by the rabbis, it does not fall into this category. So the Alter Rebbe says, no, even Yisuri the Rabbanan, once the Rabbanan have prohibited it, they receive their vitality and they're connected to the realm of Shalosh Klipos HaTameis. Shechamurim divrei sofrim yosim divrei Torah. Our sages tell us that the words of the scribes, of the sages, are even more stringent in a sense than the words of the Torah. So the Chachamim have the power to prohibit something in a manner that its essence should become a reality of objective negativity, an iser, a prohibition which belongs to the domain of Shalosh Klipos HaTameis. When someone does a mitzvah, you want to know if he elevates the physical thing with which he does the mitzvah to the realm of holiness. And the food that he's eating before it, which has become the fuel that allowed this mitzvah to happen, he elevates it to the realm of holiness. Yes. However, when he does the mitzvah, he will elevate it if it came from Klipos Nefesh. However, the question is also at the time of the consumption, what his intention was. In order to immediately elevate it to the realm of Kedusha, there has to be a conscious intention to eat it for the sake of heaven. If man's intention is for bodily appetites, he doesn't elevate it, on the contrary. Yeah. When he puts on the tefillin, he doesn't have to think that I'm now want to elevate those eggs that have fueled me, that have fueled the act of tefillin. He puts on tefillin and naturally it elevates. I Now you're asking that apparently there's something very difficult to understand over here, because the energy is what fueled this mitzvah. So you're saying it's forbidden. Fine, it's forbidden. But actually speaking, this food has become a medium and an instrument through which man does a mitzvah. So in other words, this food has become part of a godly reality. It has been utilized for a godly purpose. So the words of davening or prayer have within them the energy of this food. So it's a fact that they are elevated to the realm of holiness. Even the Isser, isn't it a factual thing? If you have done the mitzvah. So indeed, someone once asked this question to the Rebbe many years ago. And the Rebbe responded in a letter as follows. Real chiddush over here, the real news in these chapters of Tanya, so to speak, is not that something which is forbidden cannot be elevated to the realm of holiness. Is that something that is permitted can be elevated to the realm of holiness. Because there is a major difference when you say that something becomes an instrument for the realization of a holy act, or that that thing itself becomes part of the realm of holiness. For example, you talk about a table. This very table can be used for a variety of purposes. You can use the table to play bingo on it. You could use the table to play a game of Tetris on it. You could use the table to learn a Blad Gemara on it, or to learn a Perek Tanya. Has the table changed? You say that the table over here became an instrument for this, and over here it becomes an instrument for this. But the table is the same table. It was used for different purposes. It has become a medium for different purposes. But the table is different. Over here, we're not saying that when you eat something permitted and you use it for a mitzvah, it has become an instrument for doing a mitzvah. Much more than that. We say that because it has become an instrument of doing the mitzvah, it becomes part of the realm of holiness. And this is a big chiddush. And the Rebbe gives an example. Take, for example, a hand. One man's fingers will write intellectual concepts. Another man's fingers will write stupid concepts. Nonsense. So what happened to the fingers? You're going to say that when your fingers transcribe something which is deep, profound, intellectual, the fingers become part of the intellectual realm of existence. And conversely, in the other case, the fingers become part of the nonsense reality of existence. Fingers are fingers. They have been used for two different realities. Over here, the fingers were used as an instrument for knowledge, for wisdom. Over here, they have been used as an instrument for stupidity, for nonsense. When you talk about, for example, the brain, by actually contemplating thoughts and ideas for many years, it affects the brain. The brain is affected by man's energy of intellect. But the fingers are no different. It's indifferent to it. And the same thing we would think is also true over here. The world is the world. The energy of food is energy of food. So yes, you have used this food to do a mitzvah. So the food has become an instrument in doing a mitzvah. Does that mean that it transcends the parameters of its existence and it becomes part of the godly existence? That is a major chiddush. So that nevertheless, the Alter Rebbe explains is that in permitted things, Hashem imbued the nature of reality thus, that permitted things are a vessel, are receptive, to be elevated by Kedusha to the realm of Kedusha. That aspect does not exist in things of Sholos Klipos HaTzayis. So yes, they become an instrument through which the mitzvah was fulfilled, there's no question about it. They are fueled. This act, this transcendental act, fine. But they nevertheless do not leave the parameters of their existence and now assume a new identity, an identity of revealed godliness, spirituality, and holiness. So now the Alter Rebbe continues, V'lachein. It's clear. We have already discussed in Perek Zayin, it's a good question. If someone's life is in danger, so you're allowed to feed them something which is forbidden, that's going to save their life. In that case, pikuach nefesh, saving a person's life, overrides the rule of eating only kosher and not eating non-kosher, and it becomes mutter. So then, certainly, it does not fall into this category. Since it is permitted for this Jew, at this instance, in these unfortunate circumstances, to consume, he is given the power to realize its inner divine identity, its true purposeness, and to elevate it to the realm of holiness. Therefore, gam hayetzer hara, v'koyach hames avol advarim ha'asurim, the yetzer hara, the evil impulse, and the force that lusts after forbidden things, who shade misheden uchrayim, is also one of the non-Jewish demons. Shehu yetzer hara shel umayis ha'elam, which is the Yetzirah, the shel umayis ayvdi gelulim. Really, this was written so because of the censorship in Tsarist Russia, but in the back it's corrected to umayis ha'elam, the Yetzirah of the nations of the world. Shenefasheseyem mishalosh klipais Hatmeis legamri, mishalosh lupas hatmeis, whose souls are derived from the three unclean klipas. Masha'ein kin hayetzer hara, v'kayach hames avol advarim hamutarim. On the other hand, the evil impulse and the craving force after permissible things, lemalis ta'avase, in order to satisfy one's craving, who shade me shading Yehudaya. This is one of the Jewish demons, lefisha yachay lachzer legdusha kedalei, for it can be reverted to holiness, as was explained above. V'lachein, the Alter Rebbe begins. Therefore, in light of what has been explained above, we understand, since the vitality, the energy of a forbidden food, varies, is different than the vitality of a permitted food, objectively, the vitalities of forbidden things and permitted things vary drastically, respectively. Therefore, the respective impulses and forces which gravitate towards these two types of realities are also drastically different. The lust and the craving force after forbidden things, which forbidden things derive their energy from whence? From shalish klipas hatmeis. This lust and craving force is defined as a non-Jewish demon. A non-Jewish demon, Shade Mishaden Uchrayin, is the Zohar's expression for the Yetzer Hara of the non-Jew, which is not from the righteous Gentiles that observes the seven Noahide laws. Their Yetzer Hara, as has been explained in chapter 1 of Tanya, and in chapter 6, is derived from Shalish Lipas Atmeis. So therefore, this type of non-Jewish demon lusts and gravitates towards the realities of Shalish Lipas Atmeis. However, the Jewish demon, which is the expression used in Zaya, for the Jewish Yetzahara, for the Jewish animal, since this Yetzahara comes from the realm of Klipas Naiga, as has been explained in chapter 1 and in chapter 7, therefore naturally, this craving force, this lust, gravitates to what type of realities? To permitted realities, because they also receive their vitality from Klipas Naiga. The animalistic soul of the Jew, the Yetzirah, gravitates toward these permitted realities in order to satisfy her lust and her bodily appetite. And when one does so, it becomes lowered from the realm of Klipas Naiga to the realm of Shalosh Klipas Atmeis. But that's only temporarily. It's not like Shalish Klipas HaTmeis itself, as the Alter Rebbe explains over here, because the vitality of a permitted thing, even when it was consumed to satisfy one's appetite, can revert to holiness, as was explained before in chapter 7. So hence, the force and craving towards a permitted thing, even to satisfy one's appetites, originates in the Sheid Mishaden Yehudayin, in the Jewish type of animal, which is an animal which comes from Klipas Noeg. You have, for example, in most societies, there are lusts that are defined as normal lusts, normal cravings, and taivas that are defined as abnormal. It's true, Taka, that in our generation, especially in the last years, these boundaries have been seriously blurred, and today almost everything is normal, and furthermore, the more abnormal, sometimes the more admired it is. But nevertheless, there's a concept, at least, that there are certain types of cravings and lusts that are outside of the realm of normalcy. They're abnormal. They're alien from the norms that define a human being. They cannot be confined to the realm, to the norms of a human, of a society, of a human society. In that sense, we are also to understand what he's saying here. The Jewish demon, the Jewish animal, are the lusts, are the cravings, the things that are permitted, the things that can ultimately be corrected, that can ultimately be elevated and refined. This is part of the struggle of the Jew, of the character of the Jew, of the battle of the Jew. This is the Jewish animal. The non-Jewish demon, the Sheid and the Chayin, are the lusts and the cravings, the things that do not have any correction, that do not have any remedy. A Jew that experiences this, the Alter Rebbe is saying, must remember that this is an experience which is abnormal for the Jew. Essentially, this is totally alien and foreign to the character of the Jew. You'll ask a question. We see that it exists. We see that the Jew, despite that his Yetzirah comes from Klipas Noega, lusts and craves, at times at least, the things that come from Shalish Klipas HaTmeis, the forbidden things. So the answer for this is, the answer given is, explanation is, that when the Jew indulges himself in permitted things, if he does that long enough, certain quantity and quality, ultimately that coerces his Sheidin, Sheidin Yehudayin, his Jewish animal, that it assumes some of the characteristics of the non-Jewish demon. Why? Because as mentioned, when you eat permitted things to satisfy your bodily lust, the food enters the realm of Shalish Klipas HaTmeis. That food becomes part of the physiological makeup of the person, part of his flesh and his blood. It becomes part of his character, Shalish Klipas HaTmeis. So his animalistic demon becomes tainted by a foreign realm and an alien realm, and hence he can desire even something which is antithetical, essentially, to the Jewish character. Pardon, what's your question? When? When one eats even permitted food for the sake of pure bodily appetite, so the energy that he has expended to eat that food is also lowered in the realm of Shalish Klipas HaTmeis.